We're reading from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Status Quo, and we're on chapter number 3, Vidura's Talks with Maitreya. We're chapter, text number 46. Panena te deva katasivaya. Pravrida bhaktya ishadashaya ye. Vairagya sharam prati labhya bodham. Yatanja sanvi yur akunta dishnyam. Panena te deva katasudhaya. Pravridha bhaktya vishadashaya ye. Vairagya sharam pati labhya bodham. Yatanja sanvi yur akunta dishnyam. Others chant, please. Any ladies? Panena, by drinking. Te of you. Deva, O Lord. Kata, topics. Sudhaya, of the nectar. Pravridha, highly enlightened. Bhaktya, by devotional service. Vishada, ashaya, with a greatly serious attitude. Yea, those who, Vairagya Sharam, the entire purport of renunciation. Pralabhya, achieving. Bodham, intelligence. Yata, as much as. Anjasa, quickly. Anviyu, achieve. Akunta Dishnyam, Vaikunta Loka, in the spiritual sky. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, persons who, because of their serious attitude, attain the stage of enlightened devotional service, achieve the complete meaning of renunciation and knowledge, and attain the Vaikunta Loka in the spiritual sky, simply by drinking the nectar of your topics. Please repeat. O Lord, persons who, because of their serious attitude, attain the stage of enlightened devotional service, achieve the complete meaning of renunciation and knowledge, and attain the Vaikunta Loka in the spiritual sky simply by drinking the nectar of your topics. Purport. The difference between the impersonalistic mental speculators and the pure devotees of the Lord is that the former pass through a miserable understanding of the absolute truth at every stage, whereas the devotees enter into the kingdom of all pleasures even from the beginning of their attempt. The devotee has only to hear about devotional activities which are as simple as anything in ordinary life. And he also acts very simply, whereas the mental speculator has to pass through a jugglery of words, which are partially facts and partially a make-show for the maintenance of an artificial impersonal status. In spite of his strenuous efforts to attain perfect knowledge, the impersonalist attains merging into the impersonal oneness of the Brahmajyoti of the Lord, which is also attained by the enemies of the Lord, simply because of their being killed by him. The devotees, however, attain to the highest stage of knowledge and renunciation and achieve the Vaikuntha Lokas, the planets in the spiritual sky. The impersonalist attains only the sky and does not achieve any tangible transcendental bliss, whereas the devotee attains to the planets where real spiritual life prevails. With a serious attitude, the devotee throws away all achievements like so much dust, and he accepts only devotional service, the transcendental culmination. Om Jnana Timirandasya Ganagana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jaino Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. So this is another wonderful Bhagavatam chapter. Here we have Vidura is, first of all, in the first part of the chapter, talking to Maitreya. And he's gone to Maitreya for enlightenment. And we all know Vidura's position. Vidura was originally, in his previous birth, he was Yama, Yamaraj. And when Yamaraj was born, he was a twin. He has a twin sister. Raise your hand if you know who his twin sister, Yama's twin sister. You know who his twin sister. His twin sister was the river Yamuna. And they called them, when they were kids, they called them Yam and Yummy. Yam was Yamaraj, Yummy was Yamuna. And they were twins. Imagine that. Who would think, the river Yamuna? And then, of course, later he fell into his role as Yamaraj, having to deal with so many miscreants, and what a job, what a thankless task. My gosh. And so he was judging Mandavya Muni one time, and he found, Mandavya Muni did so much, pious activities. He was a muni, disseminating transcendental knowledge to people. But when he was a child, he had taken a spear of grass and killed some insect, So Yamaraj called him to task for that. And he said, you're going to have to suffer for that. And Mandavya Muni became livid. He said, what? He said, nobody ever punishes a child for doing something because children don't know right from wrong. He said, and look at what I've done after, in my many, many, many years after that. I never did anything like that. This is nonsense. This is bogus. You shouldn't be cursing. I'm going to curse you. Okay, you let a little crota overtake him. And so Prabhupada says that crota is the younger brother of kama. Yeah, younger brother, kama crota. So he said, I'm going to curse you. You're going to have to take birth from a Shudra. So be it. So that's what happened. So what happened? Vidura actually, he took birth from a Shudra mother. She was actually the maidservant of the queen, but she was, Shudra caste. And the most illustrious father on the planet. And his two elder brothers were the kings, and here he was, his mother was a Shudra. So his father, of course, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, Srila Vyasadeva, you know, and literary incarnation of Godhead, you know, that was his father. So it wasn't actually it wasn't really a curse in a sense. I mean, it was a real blessing that he got to, and why also he got to participate in the pastimes, the divine pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna while he was on the planet. So it was actually turned out to be a benediction to him, but the curse, you know, was fulfilled that way. So here, Vidura is speaking with Maitreya for the first half of the chapter, and then what happens is that Deva Utu, a whole group of demigods, appears on the scene, and they happen to be the controlling deities of the physical elements, from the sky down to the earth, and they're coming to offer prayers to the Lord. So here, this verse is one of their prayers. So that's I thought it was very amazing the way that Prabhupada says that the devotees attain, you know, the spiritual planets where the Lord is enacting his pastimes, and the Mayavadis only get the sky. Oh, that's it. So we have a lot of different things to speak about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Swami Prabhupada today. So I'm going to stop the Bhagavatam here, and if anybody has anything to add, we'll go on to speak about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada. So 150 years, born in 1874, this is 2024, it's 150 years. And I wanted to I have a couple chapters in this Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, by His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Swami, that we're going to speak about. And I also wanted to say just a couple things from the Surya Siddhanta, which was his book that he translated and edited. But this is thanks to Pushkar Prabhu for this book. It's his book, but he's letting me use it for the last 10 years because I use it. okay. Maybe they spoke about this in the last few days, but I'm not 100% sure. Maybe not. So sometimes people wonder, you know, why is Prabhupada so adamant about building this, the TOVP, Temple of the Vedic Planetarium, a planetarium, why, you know? And Prabhupada felt strongly that his Guru Maharaj, Bhimala Prasad Siddhanta Saraswati's version of Surya Siddhanta, would prove valuable for designing a Vedic planetarium of the universe. So he was a couple of things. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was offered a chair in astronomy because, of course, he was Jyotish before he got into his 100% full-time preaching. at the University of Calcutta. So, but he declined it. So in other words, they were offering him to be a full professor there, you know, but he declined it. And then he was employed by the Royal Kings of Tripura for 10 years, from 1895 to 1905. And they wanted him to stay, but he didn't, you know. Okay, so this is the foreword to this book, and it's written by His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami. Beginning with, he studied at the age of 11 to study Jyotish, and he grasped it so thoroughly at age 11 that he quickly outstripped many savants with decades of experience. In 1888, at the age of 14, he started translating from Sanskrit to Bengali the two astronomical treatises, Siddhanta Shiromani and Surya Siddhanta. And so he started in 1888, and he completed one of them in 1893. So that one took him 5 years, and the other one in 1896, the Surya Siddhanta, that took him 8 years to do. You know? So where did he get his title? Siddhanta Saraswati, recognizing his extraordinary proficiency and contributions in both the Eastern and Western systems of astrology and astronomical calculations, specifically for his initial unpublished work on Surya Siddhanta, his tutors, Pandit Mahesh Chandra Chudamani and Pandit Sundara Lal, conferred upon him the title Sri Siddhanta Saraswati when he was just 15 years old. Amazing. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the successor of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who fulfilled his desire by spreading his message throughout the world, wanted to establish the Vedic cosmographical view in opposition to that of current empiric science. This was part of a broader strategy to demonstrate Vedic knowledge as perfect and applicable in all circumstances. And the much lauded contemporary scientific agglomerate as fundamentally flawed and insufficient. So that's one of Prabhupada's main reasons for wanting, being so strongly fixed on building the TOVP. So the chapters that I was assigned to read are, the first one is the Gaudiya Mutt. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established over 60 Gaudiya Mutt branches, which, I mean, it's an amazing number when you consider that back then, what did, you know, to communicate between the mutts, what did they have? They didn't have internet, of course. They didn't have cell phones. In fact, they hardly had phones at that time. Telephones were just coming in, like around the 1920s, being standardized in all businesses and things. They were just starting, barely. And who knows, they may or they may not have even had a phone in the mutts. Probably not, but you don't know. I don't know. But what did they have? They had telegrams, and they had the mail system. To my understanding, in India, wasn't so great at that time, you know, as it is now, put it that way. And so he had 60 mutts to run, and amazing. I think it's astounding, actually. And he wanted the renunciants and the householders to execute the five primary activities of Shuddha Bhakti as enunciated by Lord Chaitanya, which are what? Sadhu Sangha, Nam Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravana, Mathura Vas, Sri Shrimurtina Shraddhaya Sevana. What does it mean? Associated with devotees, chanting the holy names, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, residing at Mathura, worshipping the deity with faith. These five are the best limbs of sadhana. Even a slight performance of these five wakens Krishna prema. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati stated that the four tasks given to, by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami, which were rediscovering and reviving lost holy places, preaching Bhakti Siddhanta, establishing Vaishnava behavior in society, and revealing service to deities, were also bequeathed to himself and his followers. And so by performing these activities during this lifetime, devotees can achieve Lord Chaitanya's blessings for the next lifetime. When he inaugurated his Sri Sanatan Gaudiya Math in Banaras, Varanasi, on the river Ganga, he chanted this shloka, Bharate Bhumite Hoila, Manusha Janmayar, Janmasar Takakorikara, Para Upakara. One who has taken birth as a human being in Bharatavarsha should make his life successful and work for the benefit of others. So he stated that he founded this mutt for that purpose, to practice and preach Sanatan Gaudiya Vaishnav Dharma. He was giving a lecture in 1933, and he was recalling in the early days when he was at the Yogapeet, he was chanting 1 billion names, 1 billion holy names. It took him a little over 9 years and 4 months to do it. So he would chant 3 lakh holy names daily. 1 lakh is 100,000. And incredibly, he was chanting on the same japamala that his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, had done the same thing in his youth. He also chanted 1 billion names. So when he was recalling his lone struggle in the early days at the Yogapeet, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta remarked in a 1933 lecture, Sri Gaurasundar has sent hundreds of qualified persons to help me now, every one of whom is competent to fulfill the manobhishta of Sri Gaurasundar. So he was so thankful for all the disciples that had come to him. Despite its regimented character, the Gaudiya Math had no written constitution or charter, nor a defined polity. Sri Saraswati Thakur was referred to as its president, Acharya, and Kunja Bihari Prabhu as its secretary. Although neither function bore a defined portfolio, being the Mat Rakshaka of Sri Gaudiya Math, Kunja Bihari Prabhu oversaw the Mat Rakshaka of each other Mat and was himself overseen by Srila Saraswati Thakur, who, although delegating most details of day-to-day administration to him and other leading disciples, kept abreast of and was involved in the working of the institution. The Gaudiya Math was declared the instrument and counterpart of His Divine Grace, Paravrijakacharya Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. It lives and moves and has its being in the founder Acharya and is identical with its founder Acharya. The associates, followers, and abode of His Divine Grace are limbs of Himself. All procedures and undertakings of the Gaudiya Math are rooted in eternal principles through the medium of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the current link in the chain of spiritual preceptors. So this is the daily schedule that they had. So every morning at 4 o'clock, there was a large bell that rung to woke all the mutt vasis and wake everybody up. And after bathing and dressing, they would, this is before Mangal Arati. They did not sing the Gurvashtika during Mangal Arati. They sang it before. That's what it says here. They would congregationally sing Gurvashtika by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And then Vaishnava Vandana by Devaki Nandan Das, which offers respects to all Vaishnavas. And then Guru Sri Guru Parampara, Srila Saraswati Thakur's composition describing the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya succession. The utterance of which fulfilled the requirement that every disciple within every sampradaya must early each morning recite the names of prominent acharyas in the parampara from its inception to the present. So they chanted the whole parampara. I thought that was very, you know, nice thing to do. Then they read a little bit of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat for a few minutes. Then they had Mangal Arati at 4:30. So they did all that before Mangal Arati. Then this was followed by Mangal Arati at 4:30. Attendance was compulsory. During Mangal Arati, the first prayer sung was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Arati Kirtan, beginning Bhale Gora Gadadharera Arti Nehari. You probably know that one, but I don't think most of us probably don't. Followed by Srila Bhaktivinoda's Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jivadaya Kari, the opening prayer of Sharanagati. Then Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adigora Bhaktivinoda was chanted once or twice, and for the remaining few minutes, the Maha Mantra. Next, the Parakram of the deities performed four times. They would circumambulate the deities four times with kirtan. And then Tulsi Arati. They would serve breakfast between 7 and 8, though some devotees skipped this. And by 7:30, most of the devotees went out for bhiksha, and they didn't come back until noon. By bhiksha, it means that they actually went door to door, begging alms and telling the people some transcendental shlokas for their enlightenment. And, you know, doing some preaching. And so there was bhoga at midday. And, I mean, bhoga was being offered at midday. While it was being offered, they sang bhoga arti song. Is that Bajabakata Vatsala Sri Gaurahari? Bhoga Arti. And then they also sang Yasomati Nandan at that time. And then each afternoon from 2 until 3, they had an Ishta Goshti, and they could ask any questions. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was usually there, and question and answer session. I'm sorry?
Every day?
Yeah, every day. It says each afternoon from 2 until 3, they assembled for Ishta Goshti. After dark, they had to remain within the compound and they would attend evening aarti. Two aarti kirtans of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. First, Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra Aarti Kshova, and then Jaya Jaya Radha Krishna Yugala Milana. Okay, and then Harikatha, given by Srila Saraswati Thakur or some other leading devotee. And they also had a lot of visitors, local Grihastha disciples. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed that all the devotees should attend the morning and evening aartis. And at 9 o'clock, everybody again honored prasadam. It says, very late, but... Okay. I thought this was very interesting. Just a small note, but like most people in India at that time, generally, Gaudiya Math brahmacharis did not wear shoes. So that means nobody wore shoes. Interesting. And, of course, I mean, it goes without speaking, there were no ladies living in the mutts, ever. It's not... You know, Prabhupada was the one that introduced what we would call brahmacharinis, you know, what we call brahmacharinis. Of course, I mean, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had female disciples. I mean, even Srila Prabhupada's sister Pishima was his disciple. But they always lived under the care of either their fathers or their husbands, you know. They were lived at home. You know, they didn't live in the mutt. And even in a different part of the book, it's telling about a lot of times during his lectures, if the ladies came to listen, they would be sitting behind a screen. They wouldn't just be, you couldn't just see them, you know. And that's just, it was strict. I mean, that was the way that, you know, at the time, it had started with the Victorian, you know, era, was like that, certain strict rules, and then, you know, continuing on. But that's, yeah. For us, it sounds kind of different or maybe too strict, I don't know, but that's the way that it was back then. You know. Like, I mean, back then, I mean, in the 1800s and in the, even sometimes in the early 1900s, but especially in the 1800s, for example, if a lady ever got, you know, pregnant out of wedlock without being married, a lot of times the family would actually just pack her off. They'd send some old aunt with her, and they, like, hundreds of miles away from them to a different city or town, and they would support her maybe, but they would never see her again. That's the way that it was. It was considered such a scandal. So imagine now, you know. It's so different now, you know. So, they're talking about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati generally kept his face clean-shaven He had his scalp shaved monthly on Purnima. Some of his Matvasis prefer to maintain some hair. It says neatly oiled and combed. Okay. Srila Saraswati Thakur never corrected them for that, but if other disciples objected or raised the subject, he would remark, "They are Babu Brahmacharis." Okay, down here there's a note. Babu may mean simply a respected person, but in this usage, it denotes a well-to-do householder fond of opulent attire and provender. I don't even know what provender means, but there's some words in here that I don't know. The dynamism of the mutts. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the first Gaudiya Acharya to establish mutts along the line of those founded by Acharyas Shankar and Madhva as monastic seminaries with emphasis on scriptural training and also incorporating deity service. I didn't realize that he was the first one to do that. Wow. And he would quote, "Mutt means a place wherein reside persons desirous to learn the ultimate purpose of life. A temple of instruction is called a mutt." He gave the analogy of the Gaudiya hospital, wherein Harinam was the medicine and Mahaprasad the diet, and whose inmates were both to undergo and administer treatment. He said, "One who has life can preach." He expected Matvasis to be surrendered, dedicated, detached, joining him in sacrificing their soul for establishing and spreading the mission. He did not want to be surrounded by obsessive sycophants, flaccid sentimentalists, or sluggish procrastinators, nor to produce the kind of sedentary sadhus who, for fear of Maya, retreat to mountain caves. He considered it insufficient that his disciples be cherubic sadhus or mere pundits or content simply with archana. He wanted men of backbone, active preachers like himself, ready to give their lives for propagating Shuddha Bhakti. He declared, "I wish that every selfless, tender-hearted member of the Gaudiya Mutt be prepared to shed 200 gallons of blood for the nourishment of the spiritual body of every individual in human society." Srila Saraswati Thakur would keep his disciples busy in diverse seva, archana, cooking, cleaning, typesetting, lecturing, writing, soliciting funds, all for the pleasure of Krishna. There was no room in the mutt for indolence or complacency. The mutt vasis slept meagerly. They rarely slept over 4 hours. Very impressive to me. My gosh. All were carried along by the spiritual energy emanating from Srila Saraswati Thakur, who expressed his satisfaction with his disciples. Wow. He repeatedly stressed the importance of hearing and chanting and typesetting, printing, going out to preach, distribute books and magazines. He desired that one way or other his followers should always be busy in kirtan and thus become purified. And he said, a mutt surcharged with talk of Krishna's glories and service is non-different from Vaikuntha. Therefore, mutvas is dhamvas. Harikatha must be prominent in the mutt. There is no use in constructing mutts merely to facilitate eating and sleeping. They need be built only for broadcasting Harikatha, which will benefit ourselves and others. Often, without giving prior notice, Srila Saraswati Thakur would tell a disciple to go here or there to perform a particular task. And should means out of station, to another place, another city or town. And should that devotee ask for time to prepare his belongings, Srila Saraswati Thakur would retort, your baggage will be sent after you. Go now. When a German devotee complained, Prabhupada, we are accustomed to planning our activities in advance, sometimes up to 3 months. So I need at least a week's notice to get ready. Srila Saraswati Thakur responded, I get information 5 minutes before, so how can I inform you 1 week ahead? He's getting information from Lord Paramatma and the spiritual world, you know, only a few minutes before. This reminds me in the, if anybody's reading that Dancing White Elephants, it's only as Giriraj Swami's book. It's ecstatic, by the way. Prabhupada did the same thing. The devotees would be, this was approximately 70, 71. The devotees were with Prabhupada traveling Gujarat and different places. And once they were going back to Vrindavan, but they were in Delhi, and Prabhupada, they were on the train, you know. And Prabhupada told, there were three or four of them. He said, I want you four to get off here and open the temple in Delhi. And they had no money. They had nothing on them. And they did have a place to stay because there was one man that was offering, I can give you a place to stay. And it turns out that that place was a horrible place, but then somebody else after a while came with a better place. And they did know how to make life members, which of course is a big wealth, you know. So that's what he said, I want you to get off here and open the temple. And they said, okay. And they did it. I mean, amazing, you know. So apparently he got that from his guru, Maharaj. Prabhupada got that from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So the next chapter that we're reading here is called Chanting the Holy Names. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was deeply attached to the holy names of Krishna. Whenever devotees inquired how to improve their bhakti and overcome anarthas, he usually stressed the need to chant faithfully and offenselessly, quoting Lord Chaitanya's statement, Iha hoite sarva siddhi hoibe sabar. By this alone, all perfection will come. Chant the Maha Mantra loudly and with attachment. This will drive away inertia, worldly ills and disturbances. He maintained that chanting the Lord's names is tantamount to directly seeing the Lord. The Lord and his name are one and the same. Chanting the holy name is equivalent to directly experiencing him. He also stated, Krishna and Krishna Nam are not two entities. Krishna is his holy name, and the holy name is Krishna. Krishna Nam is the son of Nanda, our Shamasundar. Our only devotional service and duty is Sri Krishna Nam Sankirtan. This understanding is auspicious. He also said, kirtan is meant for attracting the audience toward hearing. Some may say that Krishna is immoral or just another historical personality, So what is the use of hearing about him? We prefer to hear about the heroic activities of Napoleon, somebody may say. To relieve people from such a mentality, Krishna Kirtan is necessary. As deer and snakes can be charmed by music and songs, if Hari Katha is presented in the form of songs, then even the minds of materialists will be attracted. Proper kirtan means to reject dry, unauthorized, and adverse kirtan. An incident in Srila Saraswati Thakur's childhood had much influenced his attitude toward kirtan and music. He was with his father at Bhakti Bhavan when the brothers, Dvijendranath and Rabindranath, sons of the famous spiritualist and philosopher Devendranath Tagore, a long-standing dear friend of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, visited in 1881. I didn't know that he was a good dear friend of Tagore, very famous person in Bengal, right? I mean, one of the, if you ask who are the Bengalis that are the most famous, if you're in Bengal, you ask people that, and they'll always mention Tagore, right? Yeah, Rabindranath was the most famous though, right? Yeah, his books and, yeah. So anyway, Bhaktisiddhanta met the brothers, were there. You know, Dvijendranath and Rabindranath were at his house in 1881. And at that time, Rabindranath, who was barely 20 years old, recited a song about Krishna. Srila Saraswati Thakur later commented that his own strong taste for hearing about the Lord became strengthened after experiencing Rabindranath's sweet voice and enunciation of each word. Several songs of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur formed the basis of the Gaudiya Math liturgy, along with some by Narottam Das Thakur and others. Being preachers, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Narottam Das Thakur had penned many songs meant to help devotees at the stage of sadhana bhakti to systematically progress toward the perfectional stage of prema. So he was so fortunate to have all of his father's, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs to, you know. And we're fortunate. We should probably take more advantage of it by singing them more often, I think. Yes, Prabhu.
This chapter, you mean? Yeah.
No, this is on the. There's a chapter in between, and then there's the next chapter, chanting the holy names. So I have those two chapters. Yeah, chanting the holy names. Yeah. Srila Saraswati Thakur knew all of his father's songs by heart, for they were his heart, says. Among his favorites were Gopinath, Radha Krishna Bol, Jaya Radha Madhava, Sri Nam Kirtan, and Hari Nam Tuya Aneka Swarup. I don't even know that one. You know that one. Wow. Similarly, Prarthana and Prema Bhakti Chandrika were practically his life breath, from which he particularly relished Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, which he said should be kept by sadhakas as a garland around their neck. Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. Beautiful song. Especially on the Avirbhav Tithis, of Vishnu avatars, you would have Sri Jayadev Goswami's Dashavatar Stotra chanted. Before establishing Sri Purushottam Math, so that's at Puri, right? Purushottam Math. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati lived for 2 months with some disciples in a rented house in Puri. During that period, he sent them to the seashore in the early morning to congregationally chant the Panchatattva mantra, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. He explained that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates were at that time coming to bathe in the sea. And then in the note down here, it says, this statement is based on the understanding that the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvipa and Puri are eternally manifest, although only to sufficiently advanced and fortunate devotees. As per Chaitanya Bhagavat, where it says, even now Lord Chaitanya performs all these pastimes. Persons who are fortunate see them constantly. So in other words, he told them, okay, go down to the ocean and chant this because Lord Chaitanya and his associates are there right now. They're coming to bathe in the sea. Japa. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati often emphasized that those who do not chant at least one lakh of names, which means 64 rounds a day, 64 mullas of Maha Mantra Japa, are considered fallen if you don't do that. That's what he wrote. Okay, but then, I mean, sometimes if they were cooking all day long and performing puja and dressing the deep in this, they would say, we don't have time to chant 64 rounds, Maharaj, it's too much, you know. So he would just say, then you chant a certain amount on your mala, and the rest, when you're doing your seva, you're chanting out loud with your mouth, you know, and that's counted. He would say that, you know. During the day, remain busy in service. This is him speaking. Due to other engagements, you might not chant a lakh, but that should be your aim. If sometimes you are too busy during the day to chant on your mala, then instead of taking rest at night, chant. If you cannot finish your prescribed japa, then sleep less and chant. Do not increase your time for sleeping, increase your chanting. Kirtaniya Sada Hari, always chant the holy name. Wake up with the holy name, go on chanting throughout the day, go to sleep with the holy name. If you practice this, naturally you will also chant while sleeping. According to the time available and individual ability, some rounds should be chanted on beads. When a disciple told him, we don't have time to chant one lakh, Srila Saraswati Thakur retorted, it is not that chanting is taking time from service, or that service is taking time from chanting, but idle talks are devouring time meant for both. Stop prajalpa and you will find time to chant a lakh. No doubt you are doing considerable service, yet simultaneously so much prajalpa is going on. Stop wasting time. One lakh of harinam was the expected standard for pujaris and other mutt vasis who generally did not go out to preach. Others were told to try to chant 64 mullas, or at least to progress toward that standard. Preachers and managers had no fixed time for japa, but were expected to chant at least 16 mullas, and otherwise be always busy in para upakar, spiritual welfare work. Yet even though engaged in intense preaching, some sannyasis daily chanted a lakh of names or more. Srimad Bhakti Sri Rupa Puri Maharaj never ate anything or took even a drop of water before completing 64 rounds. Understanding the plight of many grihasthas, Sri Saraswati Thakur advised some who had taken Harinam but not Diksha So apparently Diksha just means Brahman initiation then, correct? Okay. We usually refer to Diksha as even Harinam, right? But he didn't, apparently. At that time they did not. There was Harinam, you get your name, and then second initiation you get Diksha, Brahman. Okay. Okay, so he told them who did not live at the mutt to chant at least 4 rounds. Well, when asked by Jati Shekhar Prabhu how to fix one's mind on the name while chanting, Srila Saraswati Thakur quoted, Namachintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Viga Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Bina Tvam Namanamino. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete and is the form of all transcendental mellows. Okay, there's just a couple little sentences here to finish. Ye nama se Krishna bhaja nishta kari. That name is Krishna. Resolutely worship the name. So when he asked his temple commander, this Jati Shekhar, you know, who was in charge of all the mutts, it says, to chant 64 rounds a day, he says, how is it possible? I have so many multiple duties. I have to attend temple functions, go outside for bhiksha. So he said, okay, then at least chant 32 mullas per day. Chant 32 rounds. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati recommended that while fingering tulsi chanting beads, if you're fingering your japa, you should mentally touch them to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Good idea. Mentally touch your beads while you're chanting to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. So I was just thinking the other day, geez, how fortunate. I couldn't believe how my good fortune somehow to, you know, take Diksha from Srila Prabhupada and have Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as, we have him as our param guru, you know. We're so fortunate. It's like, wow. It's unbelievable, really. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada Ki Jai, the A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much. You have a question?
Do you understand what it means when he says to sacrifice the soul? Because he said that his disciple had to sacrifice the soul for preaching or for doing other spiritual activities, and I don't understand what that means.
I don't understand the question. What, can somebody rephrase that? Or something? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I guess there's a phrase there, to sacrifice the soul for preaching.
Yes.
Yeah. Microphone if you want.
No, I mean, this is just stuff.
But so they can hear it online, you know.
Okay. Well, the phrase was sacrifice is soul for preaching, so that's what we do. I mean, we give ourselves to the preaching, to the guru, to preach. So sacrifice means you give. I'm sacrificing my money for the cause. So I'm giving myself It's not like you're putting it on some altar and burning it, like on, you know, for Moses, his firstborn son or something. You're giving yourself to the cause. Yeah. That's one context. That's yourself. You are soul. That's you. It's not like I'm a body and I got a soul. You are it. Okay. Your soul's your feet? Yeah, you can do that too.
Oh, sorry. One thing I forgot to say is that there's a Florida connection with this, with Maharaj's book, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta by Baba, that in 1975, Prabhupada was in Miami, and it was February, like this month, so, and it was 49 years ago, in other words, he was in Miami. And when he went to sit down in the Vyasasan, on either side of him, there were two chalk drawings this size, one of Bhaktisiddhanta and one of Prabhupada himself, and on each side. So Prabhupada was looking at both of them, and he really appreciated them, and he said, "Who has done this?" And so we told him, your disciple, Kirtimati Prabhupada, so our god sister Kirtimati had done these beautiful artworks, you know. And Prabhupada really liked them. So then when Maharaj was, Bhakti Vikas Swami was making this book, I happened to see him, I think in Florida, and I just asked him how the book is coming. He said, "Well, I'm looking for a cover for the second volume." And I said, "Oh," I said, "you know, in Miami they have that picture that Prabhupada really liked, you know, of Srila of his Guru Maharaj, and it's a chalk drawing." And so Maharaj told me, "Okay, just take it and take it to a professional scanner, a business scanner, and get it scanned in high resolution and email it to me, and I'll use it as the cover." So he did, and this is that. If you want to, you can show them, because it's hard to see from here. But this is a chalk drawing. It looks kind of like a photograph almost. And he understood the Western too,
but what's the basis of Western astrology?
Well, Western doesn't use an ayanamsha, yeah. You know. So there's, so it's like the calculations are, there's 23 degrees difference between the two, you know. But certain aspects of Western astrology you can use, such as the degreeable difference between the planets, like when the planets are squared, they're UT, they're together, they're opposite. You can use that, and you can derive the meaning from that in Western astrology is pretty accurate, you know. So certain things like that. So maybe that, I don't know what he was, what aspect of Western astrology he was utilizing, but I would imagine.
Astronomy, Western mathematics, Sanskrit and mathematics, Sanskrit astronomy. He was, I was reading the other biography, he was doing Jyotisha, he did an almanac up until he did sannyas and founded the Gaudiya Math. He was still to some degree working with that, but then once he took sannyas and started the Gaudiya Math, he kind of had other projects.
Nice class. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.